We're doing a year-end check-in, if you will, with UW-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What a year it's been. Big breath, robust COVID testing on campus, quarantining of dorms and Greek houses, crafting a UW budget in a pandemic and maneuvering through Big Ten play. And then there's the future to contend with. What will infection rates be like when students return for the spring semester in late January? What do you want to ask Chancellor Blank? It's 800-642-1234. Rebecca Blank has been the Chancellor of UW-Madison since 2013. Chancellor Blank, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for asking me.
Well, it's been a rough year for everyone. What's been the hardest thing for you to deal with during this pandemic?
You know, I think the hardest part of this for myself and many of the leaders is that the world kept changing, right? Mm. You'd sort of think you had control over what the questions were that you needed to answer. And then a week later, you'd find out there were a whole set of new questions and issues that you had to pivot to and deal with, so that you sort of never got ahead of things. You were always dealing with another sense of an emergency.
As you look back at the year, is there anything that you would have done differently?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that we would most likely have done different as we look back is right at the beginning of the fall semester, as many people know, we had a spike in cases that resulted in us really shutting some things down for 2 weeks. We could have done a better job of preventing that had we started earlier with all of our prevention measures. We had everything ready to go the day that school started. And it turns out that particularly among our students who were off campus, many of them were back well before that. Mm-hmm. And we weren't doing as much messaging earlier about the health protocols, the importance of not bar hopping and gathering in large groups. And we should have started that sooner. And I think that would have helped prevent that first spike in some ways.
What communication did you have in those days in the fall with bars and restaurants and the places that students frequent?
So I personally did not have that conversation. I did have a number of conversations with the Dane County Public Health. I was quite concerned that the rules that were out there were not being enforced. And you could see that by walking down the street on a Friday or Saturday night. And when those rules started to be enforced, and of course, that was also the point that we really asked students to restrict movements for several weeks and went online for 2 weeks, things improved. And then they stayed for the rest of the semester much better. Our numbers all the way through the rest of the semester were below the county and far below the state, particularly in November and December when the state took off with high infection rates.
The Big Ten was criticized for going ahead with a football season this year after initially canceling the season. And in retrospect, do you think it was a good idea to play football this season?
So, you know, I find criticism of the Big Ten a little odd here. We, I think, were far more careful and responsible than the other leagues that were playing. We delayed the start of the year until we thought we had a protocol that would keep our students as safe as possible. Once we started, we were doing daily testing of all of the staff and students on the teams that were in active competition. Now, that by itself was not enough, as we all know, to prevent some infections happening at some of the teams, including at UW-Madison. But, you know, we've had some pretty serious health protocols in place, both to try to prevent disease as well as when students get ill, to take care of them. So if you test positive and you're a football player, you don't come back for 21 days. The first 14 days, you know, you're in isolation for all the reasons we know about. The next week, you're undergoing a whole series of cardiac and other medical tests to make sure that there is not any damage and that you can go back to active athletic competition. And I don't know any other league in the country that's doing that type of medical protocol.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Rebecca Blank, Chancellor of UW-Madison. We're looking back at the year that was, how the university will deal with the pandemic in 2021, and taking your questions, 800-642-1234. Chancellor, with vaccines now imminent, being rolled out very soon, perhaps the end of the pandemic may be in sight, but it's certainly not over yet. And what will spring semester look like for UW-Madison students and faculty?
So unfortunately, I don't think the spring is going to look very different from the fall. We're not going to have large-scale vaccination in place until at best the end of the spring, the summer. So we are planning for a spring semester that in many ways looks a lot like the fall. We're going to have hybrid courses, some in person, some online. I think most of our students will be back in Madison just as they were in the fall. The big thing that we're doing differently is a much more extensive testing regime. We now have the technologies that we will have in place by the middle of January to test our entire campus population twice a week if needed. And we are going to mandate that all of our students in the Madison area test twice a week, and that our staff and faculty test regularly, probably about once a week. So that in addition, if you add that to the other health protocols, that should make the campus even safer.
What are the cost expenditures with those additional testing, ramped up testing? Are there COVID expenses that we may not realize?
Well, it's certainly not cheap to do all the testing we've done this fall or this spring. We were fortunate this fall in that the state, with some of the federal dollars, gave money to the UW system, some of which came to us, that covered a substantial part of our testing costs. I do not know if that's going to be true in the spring, but, regardless of cost, the testing and health protocols are absolutely mandatory if we're going to be in school this spring. So, the cost is a secondary issue, not a primary issue.
Are there plans for the university to be vaccinating students and staff once vaccines are available?
I would love to see that happen. We are so early in the process that we don't have the type of information yet to know when we might get vaccines, if they're going to be distributed to us, if they're going to be inside the health system and you have to go find a doctor. We, of course, would like to be able to vaccinate our community. We've done a lot of vaccinations. We do flu vaccinations every fall. We'd love to be able to offer that, but there's a lot to be worked out yet before we quite know that's going to happen.
Have there been conversations about whether a vaccination would be required for students and staff?
I think as long as this vaccination is under an emergency use authorization, which is not quite the same as final approval, it's going to be difficult to require the vaccination. That said, I'm going to be first in line to get this, and we are all going to encourage everyone in our campus community to be vaccinated.
When you look around the campus, Chancellor, are you concerned that you're going to have to do some program cuts, have to eliminate degree programs, majors or minors?
So we are in a serious one-year financial crisis. We have a substantial cash flow shortage because of revenues that aren't coming in for all sorts of COVID-related reasons. That's different from a long-term budget crisis. And when if you're going to cut programs and departments, you do that because of long-term budget crises. We're trying very hard to manage through this. It's not easy. We have asked quite a bit from our staff and employees. As you probably know, we've asked furlough days from all of them. We've cut back on a lot of expenditures. We're putting a lot of our reserves into this. There are a whole variety of ways in which we're covering our cash flow problems this year. But I do not anticipate that we are, we will be making some budget cuts, but those are not going to be so deep that they're going to go into cutting substantial programs and departments.
We're working through 2020, how UW-Madison handled the pandemic during the fall semester with Chancellor Rebecca Blank. Continues to be free COVID testing on campus that's open to the community through a partnership between the UW and the federal government. Have you been tested on campus? What suggestions do you have for how UW-Madison can persevere through the remainder of the pandemic? What do you think the university should do differently in 2021? Join in with your take, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Chancellor Blank here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're reflecting back on the year, looking ahead with UW-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank. COVID is forcing colleges and universities of all sizes to make potentially lasting cuts to try to shore up growing shortfalls and Red Ink. The economic downturn is pushing higher ed toward more furloughs, layoffs. UW-Madison will continue furloughs in 2021 to help offset hundreds of millions of dollars in lost revenue. Have you been furloughed or laid off? What could the university do to mitigate the impact? Is your college student taking classes virtually? How has that gone? 800-642-1234. And Chancellor Blank is with us for 10 more minutes. Let's take a call now. Saeed's joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Saeed.
Hello, and thanks for taking my call. Chancellor, transition of instruction to online, which has been experienced in so many campuses, and some may argue making learning even more efficient. What do you think is the legacy of this period in its in what we've learned, and how it will alter higher education in the post-COVID era?
That's a great question, Saeed. I will say that I think one of the things we've learned all over again is the value of face-to-face conversation and instruction. We did a survey of our undergraduates about three-fourths of the way through this past semester, and large numbers of them said what they really valued more than anything else was that one or two classes they had in person, and they just wished that more and more classes were like that. All of that said, our faculty have learned an enormous amount about new technologies that many of them were not using before. And I do think that there's going to be some serious thought about how do you use that very precious time that you have with your faculty when you are in the classroom, and is that best used by standing in front of a blackboard or a projector and lecturing, or can you do some of that transfer of material in other ways so that the time on the classroom is really spent in the most active form of learning, in discussion, in working through problems, in looking at implications of different things. I think there's going to be some changes in teaching, but I do think this is simply reiterated all over again, the real value of residential education and online face-to-face learning for many, many people.
Yeah, you know, there have been those criticisms that, you know, going virtual online classes are not as valuable, that there should be an adjustment in tuition. What do you say to that criticism?
Well, our costs haven't gone down, nor have the costs of any other school. We have a world-class group of faculty teaching our classes. They're teaching them in a different modality than they were before. But the value of the information that those faculty have and that they're imparting in the classroom hasn't changed. So, you know, we have not adjusted our tuition rates. To be the University of Wisconsin, we need those sorts of faculty. We need the type of advising, the sort of mental health services, the full range of things we provide. And that comes with a price tag.
Well, let's talk about tuition for a moment. Should the tuition freeze be lifted?
Yes. That's an easy answer. Look, we've had 8 years of a price freeze at the university. If you compare us to our peer schools, you know, we're in Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, the schools that are right around us, all of them over the last 8 years have seen something between a 10 to 20% increases in state tuition. And we've had zero. And I don't want to raise tuition by huge amounts, but we need to adjust for inflation. Our salaries are going up. Our costs are going up. It's not unreasonable to ask tuition prices to go up. And I might note the University of Wisconsin is a really good deal. Our tuition and fees are around $10,500. Now, that's a lot of money for a low-income family, and we provide a lot of scholarships for them. But for higher-income families, comparing us to other equivalently good schools, we're cheaper than most of them. And, you shouldn't give away your goods at the cheapest possible price. What you should do is charge a reasonable price and discount for all of those people you want to have there, and for whom the price is a little bit high. It's one reason we're running something called Bucky's Tuition Promise, which guarantees we'll provide financial aid to all students who come from low-income families in the state of Wisconsin. And we cover all tuition and fees for them for 4 years.
Talking with Rebecca Blank, Chancellor of UW-Madison, looking at what the university faces going forward in 2021. Chancellor, you were looking at revenue losses more than double than what you anticipated in late October, $320 million in lost revenue between March of this year and end of June 30th, 2021. Do you have any revised estimates?
No, those are the estimates we're working with. We're talking about, we're going to be short about $320 million compared to where we thought we'd be last January. Like I say, some of that we've made up by reducing expenses. Some of that we've made up by using our using reserves. Some of that we're simply going to have to make up through some budget cuts that we amortize over the coming years. The good news here, there's two pieces of good news. One is we do not have a long-term problem in terms of demand for our product. A lot of schools in the upper Midwest are seeing declines in applications. That's not true for us. We've seen steady increases in applications. The number of people wanting to come to UW has gone up every year for the last 6 years, and our applications are up another 13% year over year right now. That's great news. And I have every expectation. The other piece of good news is when things get back to normal, I hope that's next fall, you know, all that, those revenues will be back. You know, all the things that stopped things, money from flowing in this past year is not going to be there once COVID is over. And our unions, our athletic program, our dorms, everything will be back to normal. And that's just a good position to be in.
In the meantime, the second round of furloughs is planned for next year, and senior leaders will be given 15% pay cuts. Could there be layoffs or further cuts?
So we have told all of our units that they will be facing budget cuts and have told them what the magnitude of those budget cuts are going to be. We do have to deal with this cash flow shortage. And as I say, we sort of have to amortize it. We can't handle it all this for year. We're going to have to amortize it over future years. And that is why we are passing down budget cuts. Those are not excessive. They're in the range of 4 to 6 to 8% for most units. But we do have to be serious about making sure that we are financially responsible and deal with the financial crisis that COVID has placed on us.
UW-Madison is sitting on a $3.3 billion endowment. When you talk with the foundation and the Alumni Association, is there any latitude to use some of that endowment, latitude in making restricted gifts unrestricted?
So virtually all of that money is allocated to very specific things. People very rarely give money to the university and say, spend this any way you want. They want to fund a scholarship. They want to fund a named professorship. They want to fund a very specific program. And we have contracts with all of those individuals saying, this is how we will spend your money. Let me say, if we did not have those sorts of gifts, we would be in much deeper and more serious financial trouble than we are. So that endowment has been just golden for us. But it's not money that we can spend at will. It is money that is tied to very specific activities. And we're obligated to spend it that way by the wishes of the donors. I wouldn't want to do anything differently.
I want to turn to the climate on the campus here and certainly race relations. There have been growing calls to make UW-Madison more inclusive, more diverse. What is the university doing to hire more diverse faculty?
So, you know, I take this issue very seriously. 3 years ago, we started a program aimed at increasing diversity among our faculty that we call the Targets of Opportunity Program TOP, which provides substantial incentives for departments to hire faculty from faculty who are underrepresented in their department and in their field. You know, that could be racial or ethnic, that could be gender, that could be based on some of the things that they study and work on. Over 2 years, we have made 32 hires. The vast majority of those are people of color. Some of them are women in some of our science fields. And even in the midst of a very difficult budget year, I've been very clear that we are going to continue to put money into the TOP program and continue to do that type of hiring. We need to do it at Madison. We are you know, they call a predominantly white institution. We need more diversity amongst our faculty, and this program has been very important for that.
There have been a series of racist incidents that have occurred on campus, including racist graffiti, a fraternity suspended due to racist slurs. What is your administration doing to address the climate for students here at the university?
So we're working on, you know, generally three major areas and have been for a number of years. One is diversity in the people who are there, both among our students and our faculty. We just talked about the faculty. The second is training and programs that are educational. We're an educational institution, and we have a lot of people arriving, particularly 18-year-olds from small towns where things are much less diverse than they are on campus. And we try to work with students. We have mandatory training for everyone who arrives to talk about their identity, where they're coming from, where others are coming from, how you live and work with people who come from different backgrounds. And that education is absolutely important. The third thing that we are working on is support for our communities of color. We've established affinity groups for many of our faculty and staff from different identities. We've, over the last 5 and 6 years, established cultural centers in the Red Gym for a variety of student groups who want a place to come together and hang out.
Chancellor Blank, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's always good to talk to you, Kate.
Rebecca Blank, Chancellor, UW-Madison. For Disclosure, WPR is a service of UW-Madison.